If you want to get a look at one of the world's biggest solar power plants, all you got to do is drive a little bit south and west of the valley near Gila Bend. That's where you'll find the Solana plant. That's what my colleague Steve Shadley did earlier this week. He joins me now. Steve, what does this thing look like?
You can't miss it. It's just west of Gila Bend, and it's right next to the freeway. This solar plant called Solana is 3 square miles of solar panels, and there's a big sort of power plant in the middle with steam rising into the sky, and there are wires and pipes going every direction. It's producing power for about 70,000 APS customers around Arizona.
So how is this plant different than other solar facilities people might have seen driving around the valley?
Well, the main difference is sort of a new technological breakthrough, because the problem with solar energy right now is there's not a lot of capacity to store the energy, but they now have this technology where they actually mix salt with water, and it's a special kind of salt, I'm told, Mark. It comes from Chile, and it has an ability when you mix it with water and spin it at a certain speed that it can actually store electricity that's produced at this solar
kind of like a battery.
Exactly. The storage reach is only 6 hours after the electricity is actually produced, whereas with your old traditional photovoltaic solar panels that we're used to, the black ones that you see, the energy is immediately used or sent back to the grid. But now they have the capacity to store this energy for about 6 hours. I had a chance to talk to Brad Albert. He's a resource manager with APS, and he says Solana in Arizona is the first solar plant that uses this mixture of salt and water to store electricity for peak demand periods, like around 5 o'clock when a lot of people get home from work and they turn on their air conditioners on a hot day.
What that allows us to do is keep producing electricity well after sunset. In fact, on a hot summer day, this plant will be able to keep producing electricity all the way till midnight or so.
So, Steve Shadley, what kind of impact might Solana have on APS customers' utility bills?
Well, this is an interesting question. APS had a media tour of the plant this week, and that question, of course, came up. And they said basically that it's not going to touch the rates that customers are paying right now immediately. But in the long run, over the next 30 years or so, the great thing about this plant, they're telling us, is that the prices will always be constant because, of course, sunlight is free, and they don't have to worry about fluctuations in the global market for current supplies of energy. And here's what Brad Albert had to say about that.
APS has to go out on the open market and buy natural gas at prevailing market prices to fuel those power plants. And that can sometimes be a volatile or unstable type of price that we pay for our natural gas.
KJZZ, Steve Shadley. Steve, thanks.
You bet. Thank you, Mark.
Solana has been up and running for about a month now, and there's been a lot of discussion recently about net metering. The Arizona Corporation Commission is scheduled to hear about that issue starting on Wednesday and could vote on it next week as well. The politics of solar energy have been on full display, so we wanted to get a sense of what those politics are. We have two perspectives, starting with former Arizona Congressman, Republican Ben Quayle.
We need to be able to diversify our economy away from kind of rooftops and growth for growth's sakes. And I think solar could be one of those things. At the federal level, and I think at the state level as well, we got to make sure that we're not providing disincentives for research and development and being able to make sure that solar is a going entity, going concern going forward. Right now, I think that it's getting a little bit too propped up by various incentives that I believe are actually making it more difficult for the industry to actually get to that place where it's going to be a direct competition to other types of energy, whether it's fossil fuel or carbon-based energy.
In Washington, D.C., in Congress, how big of an issue is solar energy? I mean, obviously it's a big deal here because it's sunny all the time, but in a place like D.C. with the federal government, is it as big a priority?
Well, I think energy is a priority, you know, when you look at it from a macro level. We are seeing a boom in oil and natural gas, and we can continue to see a boom in solar and alternative forms of energy. And we need to make sure that we are providing that and allowing that to happen, allowing that development to happen. Because we have been, through technological advances, we have been given something that can take our economy to the next level. It will make the dot-com boom look like nothing. If we actually allow this to happen.
So you don't think that government funding of solar and other alternative energy in and of itself is necessarily a bad thing? It sounds like you want it to be more based on abilities or on merit than trying to say, okay, we want to do solar, but maybe not biomass, for example.
A, you want it to be technologically neutral. And the other part is, I think basic research from funding by the government is a good thing. I don't think once you get past that point, where then it just becomes basically corporate cronyism and you're starting to see pick winners and losers and you're starting to see, hey, wow, that person donated to this campaign and, oh, shocking, he gets a big pile of money from the government. That's where the problems lie. But basic research, that's something that the government should be helping in.
Do you think that the state's policies on solar energy and the amount of solar energy that we produce and use here in the state is commensurate with the amount of support that Arizonans say that they give to solar energy?
Well, in context of this ACC battle, which has been an entertaining thing to watch, it seems like
The net metering debate.
Yes, the net metering debate. I think when you ask in a polling question if people support solar, of course you do. I mean, everybody supports solar. But when you start to get down into the nitty-gritty of things and how much it costs, what sort of subsidies are actually going into it, I think then you're going to start to see a little bit of a change in that poll answer.
That was Republican Ben Quayle, a former Arizona congressman. Now, this may shock you a little bit, but David Shapira doesn't completely disagree with what Quayle had to say. A Democrat, Shapira is the former minority leader of the Arizona Senate.
If you look at a comparison of Arizona to other states, which, you know, many states are, you know, kind of, especially in the Southwest, are at the forefront of solar, we rank up there. I mean, we actually have some pretty good solar policies in Arizona.
What do you think Arizonans' support for solar is? I mean, is it something like mom and apple pie that pretty much everybody supports, in concept at least?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, generally, polls in Arizona and in large part across the country show that solar is popular. When you get down into the nitty-gritty and the details, I think there's still a lot of lack of understanding about what these terms mean. What is energy deregulation? What does that look like? And what effect does it have? You know, what is net metering? I mean, these types of terminologies are not necessarily well understood across society. But I think in general, when you say, do you like solar? Do you support solar? Do you think it's a good part of our energy future? I think people say yes.
Do you think in Arizona that talking about solar, I mean, do the divides break down along traditional party lines? Is it a rural-urban kind of thing? I mean, where is the divergence in opinion?
Well, you know, it's interesting because energy is really a global issue, and we talk about it a lot on the national level. It always is a topic in presidential campaigns. And, you know, certainly it comes up in state legislatures, even gubernatorial races, even local elections. It's interesting to hear what each side is saying in the debates and to see who is on each side. And it really differs. You know, there are a lot of Republicans who believe very firmly in alternative energy, who think that we have to diversify, who think that we have to not rely so much on the Middle East and their oil interests for our economy to function. And, you know, likewise, there are Democrats who think that we, you know, should build nuclear power plants and should maybe even do things like hydrofracking and other means that are not as sustainable and not as friendly to the environment.
So in your mind, what is the proper role of government in the solar industry?
You know, frankly, I think probably a little bit more in line with some of my colleagues from the other side of the aisle, that if government would get out of the way in terms of picking winners and losers in energy, that the natural progression would be towards alternative sources. The biggest role I think government can and should have in energy is in research and development. What we need to do is be investing in new technologies, new ideas, new innovations of ways to create energy cheaper and cleaner.
That was David Shapira, the former minority leader of the Arizona Senate.